Next week, we fly back to Nepal and be back there with my wife and our ministry there. When I'm there, I'm very busy by God's grace and plan to continue to do that as long as I have the health. But we will have a three-day, as soon as I get back, we have a three-day preacher's training, three-day meeting, teaching on expository preaching, really trying to emphasize expository preaching with our preachers there, and three whole days together on that. And then in November, early November, is our missionary conference that we have every year, our major emphasis to give God's people a vision for His great work in that needy country. And we're looking forward to that. Our speaker this year is from Canada, Pastor Mike Sullivan, and his missionary son from Thailand. The speakers this year are guest speakers. When I'm in Nepal, we have a full-time Bible college, and I teach about 9 hours a week, 9-10 hours a week, teaching and preaching. My normal schedule when I'm there. We're working on a Bible commentary on the whole Bible, the Lord willing, if God gives me that much life. But we started on the prophets, completed minor prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Those three are on the table. And then we just finished Ezekiel, and I'm finishing up Daniel. And the aim with these commentaries is to try to have a verse-by-verse commentary. It's a verse-by-verse commentary, but also something that can be used to teach and preach from easily. And so that combination is very difficult to do that, or I found it difficult to do that, but that's been our aim, and to combine those two things together. Three of those, I believe, are on the, or three of those are on the table, if there's any of them left. We just had a few of the books shipped this to the meeting. And so whatever's on the table is all there is. Tonight, I would like you to turn with me again to Romans chapter 12. I love Sunday night services. If I was going to be a one-service-only Christian, which I think is no kind of Christian, but if I were going to be that, it would be Sunday night Christian. I've always liked Sunday nights better. Yes, I believe Sunday morning Christianity is no kind of Christianity at all. Romans chapter 12 is our text this week. Knowing God's will. Knowing God's will. But I want to go back. We read verses 1 through 8 this morning. I want to go back just a few verses in chapter 11. You always have to give the context to understand a biblical passage. Context is the most important principle of Bible interpretation. In Romans chapter 11, beginning of verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." And God's covenants, eternal covenants with Israel, will be fulfilled. God's not finished with Israel. God has an eternal plan, and Israel is at the very heart of that plan. God chose a man, Abraham, to create a nation, Israel. And through that nation, He gave the world the Savior and the Scriptures. And God's work with Israel will be finished. The covenants will be fulfilled. "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past..." "Ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these now also not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." And God's plan is amazing. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Sounds like Christ died to make it possible that all would be saved. Oh, the depth and riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. That's Paul's conclusion to all this, talking about the eternal purposes and plan of God. Oh, the depth and the riches of both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. Now that's a big statement. You are of him, through him, and to him. You have no other purpose for existence other than God. Period. End of the story. That's why God made man. Of him and through him and to him are all things. You are a thing. You are a created thing. You have no other purpose other than God and God's eternal plan. To whom be glory forever. Amen. And then, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And so the context is God's eternal plan, the riches of his, the infinite riches of his wisdom, power to make that plan come to pass. And he knew us before we were born. He knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. In him we live and move and have our being. We have no being other than God. He created us. Evolution's a lie of the devil. It's blasphemous. God made us. We are his creatures. And because of God and his eternal plan, the Word of God is beseeching us to surrender our lives to him, which is an amazing thing that we have the privilege to surrender our lives to him after we're saved. And so we're looking at knowing God's will from Romans chapter 12, salvation and surrender and separation and transformation and ministry. Let's ask God to help us tonight. Father, we thank you for this great, wonderful revelation. Lord, we cannot know these things apart from your word. And you have chosen to reveal these wonderful things about yourself, Lord, to us. We are totally unworthy. We thank you for salvation and redemption, whereby we are cleansed before you and made acceptable in Christ. And therefore we can surrender our lives to you, Lord, and serve you in your great business. And we pray tonight you'll help us and help us to see our personal lives clearly before you and your will for us and where we are, where we need to be. And we pray you would bless this church this week and Pastor Brown. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked at salvation this morning. The fundamental of fundamental, of course, is salvation. We cannot know the will of God apart from salvation. Cannot scripturally be a member of a church apart from salvation. But here in Romans chapter 12, we see surrender. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. It is reasonable. Present your body. And here the body represents the whole person. It's not just my body God wants. The whole person. Everything that I am, everything he made me. He wants the whole person. Present your body. God gave it to you. It's your body. It's an amazing thing, the body, human body. We think of every part of the body. We could think of every part of the body. Modern medical science is finding out so many amazing things. Every scientist today should fall down on his knees before Almighty God. Because of what we've learned, every direction we look through a microscope or a telescope at the amazing creation that points to this amazing God. But the brain. The brain's an amazing thing, of course. It's been called the most complex arrangement of matter in the universe. Oh, in Chicago Friday, I went to the Science and Technology Museum. Very fascinating. One of the displays is on DNA. And I was watching a little video there, some scientist, and he said, you know, we all share an ancestor with the worms. Oh, yes, right. That's brilliant. The worm, man, okay. The information in the brain equals that contained in 20 million separate books. 20 million. That's some brains. That's not necessarily every brain, I don't think. 20 million books, probably more than that. It has hundreds of trillions. The brain has hundreds of trillions of connections called synapses. Synapses. And one synapse, they function like the little synapses, the trillions of synapses function like a microprocessor. One synapse may contain 1,000 switches. There's trillions, hundreds of trillions of these things in your brain whirling around up there. Which is about how many, and in the cerebral cortex alone, there are 125 trillion synapses. Each synapse incredibly complex. And that's about how many stars would fill 1,500 Milky Ways. The brain. God is talking about the body. The brain's a part of the body. To surrender our bodies, to present your body. That's what God is saying to Him for His business and His glory and His work. Surrender to God. It means to have one master. One master. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. We think we can, but Jesus said that's not possible. And Jesus is always right. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other, Matthew 6:24. And so, according to what Christ is saying, you either live for yourself or you live for God. You either live for yourself or you live for God. No man can serve two masters. We think of young people making choices. So many times I've asked young people, I've talked to young people in churches. And here and there's young people. Maybe high school. And I say, well, what are you planning to do? Oh, they have this and that plan. You know what the only scriptural answer to that is? I'm going to do God's will. Period. End of story. Nothing else. We have a doctor in our church and medical. We have three medical doctors in our church. But one, they had a little girl. And I heard that they were planning and they were purposing and planning that she was going to be a medical doctor. You say, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Everything's wrong with that. The only thing that a parent should want for their child is the perfect will of God. Period. If that's the perfect will of God for that little girl, great. But if that is not the perfect will of God, that is idolatry on parents' parts. Idolatry is to put anything before God. Idolatry. You don't have to make a little image, a little elephant head god like the Hindus do, the Ganesh, the elephant head god. You don't have to have a little monkey god on your desk at home to be an idolater. If anything is before God in your life and in your heart, you are an idolater. And I am an idolater, if that is true. We're to love Him with all the heart and with all the soul and with all the strength. All. Anything less is idolatry. Surrender to God means to have one master, one master. You're either in God's will or you're in your will. Surrender to God is a surrender to my part in God's great business. God's great business. God is great and God has great business. Great business. Every business on this present world except the church is little business. The White House is little, tiny business. Little business. And everything in this earth, other than the church really, is little business. The church is God's main business. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the Bible says it's the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the house of God. It's God's special business on this earth today to accomplish His great plan of reaching the world with the gospel. And surrender to God is surrender to my part in God's great harvest, His great business, which is the harvest. After Jesus rose from the dead, five times the Bible emphasizes that he commanded the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to disciple every nation. Five times that is repeated. Five times it is repeated. That is great emphasis. Repetition is emphasis in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, and Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20, and Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and after that ye receive power, then you should be my witnesses. And so that is, the surrender to God is, it's a particular kind of surrender. It's not just a vague general thing, because God has told us what He's doing in a special way in this world tonight. God has some business He's doing. Now God is doing everything, of course, but God has some special business in this world. It's what Christ emphasized. It's what is of chief importance in this present time. Jesus Himself said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Laborers are few. Laborers were few then, and laborers are few tonight. In fact, laborers are fewer now among independent Baptist churches than when I was saved in 1973. As far as those that are going out and doing missionary work and starting churches, I think it's much smaller now than it was in the 1970s. Laborers are few. This work, it's the same call that this call in Romans 12 is the same call that we see in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8 that Isaiah heard. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? It's the same call. Christ is calling for laborers of the harvest. It's one of the things that He specifically tells us to pray for. Luke chapter 10 verse 2. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers in His harvest. I'm confident that there are so few workers because there is such a lack of surrender. We're coming back here. There's so few workers, sold out workers in God's harvest, because there's such a lack of surrender. Such a lack. Bill Sullivan said, the evangelization of the world waits not on the readiness of God, but on the obedience of Christians. A.T. Pearson said, if missions languish, it is because the whole life of godliness is feeble. Feeble. The whole life of godliness is feeble. A man recently told me, a pastor, he said, "My people are faithful, but they're sleeping. The whole life of godliness is feeble. If missions is languishing, it is because the whole life of godliness is feeble." The command to go everywhere and preach to everybody is not obeyed until the will is lost by self-surrender in the will of God. They obey the command to go everywhere and preach to everybody. It's not obeyed until the will is lost. The will is lost. My will is lost by self-surrender. It's exactly what Romans 12:1 is talking about. Lost in self-surrender in the will of God. That's right out of Romans 12:1 and 2. A.T. Pearson. Isabel Kuhn, missionary to China, said, "It is not God who does not call. It is man who does not respond." It is not God who does not call to this great work. He is calling. It is man that does not respond. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China again, said the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. Oh, let's consider that. It is a command to be obeyed. It is a command. Go ye therefore. This is the purpose of our missionary conference. This is the focus of our heart and life. My heart and life, this is the focus of it. It is the reason I live in a country that I don't really like. Because this is the business of God. And I have surrendered to that a long time ago. And step by step I have followed that. And step by step I have had to make hard decisions. I have had to surrender to my will. You don't just do that once and you've got that settled. You do that continually. You do that every day. But these big decisions come. Will you go to Nepal? Will you go back to Nepal? Will you go to Nepal at age 30? Will you go back at age 50? It all comes back to a surrender of the will to God's will. Knowing that He has a great plan. And desiring to find my place in His perfect will, in His great plan. The will of God. Surrender. We're talking about surrender. This is the purpose of our missionary conference. That we would give God an opportunity. It's God's business. It's God's conference. To speak to the hearts of His people. Speak to their hearts. About this great business, about the need in Nepal, in our case, in Nepal, for the preaching of the gospel. To give the Spirit of God an opportunity to call workers into that harvest. And that's exactly what we've seen every year. Every year, every year. This is what our young people are doing. What our young people are doing in Nepal. Choosing a Bible college, a little nothing Bible college. Our Bible college is not accredited in any way. It has no worldly recognition in any way. It's only for our church. It's not for all the Independent Baptists of Nepal or anything like that. It's just for our church to train our young people that God calls. Give up. But this surrender right here, Romans 12. This is happening in the hearts and lives of our young people that we're working with. They surrender and they choose because of the will of God to reject secular college and all that offers for a little Bible college. With the prospects of having a lot of trouble and a lot of persecution and no money to speak of for the will of God. That's surrender. It's real. It has real consequences in your life. It is not Sunday morning Christianity. It is not Sunday morning Christianity. It's a very, very, very big deal. The surrender is to God's great business and great harvest. And that harvest will last until Jesus comes. And the Jews are going to take over our business one of these days. And after the rapture, that 144,000 will be called and sent out, and they will preach the gospel of the kingdom. In Revelation 7, we see the gospel of the kingdom according to Matthew 24. And they will basically take over what we're doing today in the churches. But until then, it's our business. It's our business. Surrender. What's my part, Lord? In this great harvest. My part. I want my part. I want to do my part. The surrender must be complete. We see here in Romans 12 that it is a sacrifice. Sacrifice is a dying. It's offering something to God. David said that he would not offer something to God that didn't cost something. David, who was said to be the man after God's own heart, a man after God's own heart, knew a lot about the sacrifice. And he said, I would not offer to God that which does not cost me something. Sacrifice, a living sacrifice. We're talking about sacrifice. And we cannot know the perfect will of God. Cannot know the perfect will of God because we haven't got to the perfect will of God yet. We're talking about what is necessary to know the perfect will of God. You cannot know the perfect will of God apart from full surrender. Sacrifice. Dying to self. Choosing to do things you wouldn't do apart from God's call. Wouldn't do it. Everyone that's saved in this room knows something about this. Because you've made such choices. You've made such choices. You're here tonight. People are not in church Sunday night across this nation tonight. You've made some choices. You know what I'm talking about. But it has to be complete. Most Christians, I believe, have not done this. This surrender, this presentation of the body as a living sacrifice. They get saved. They continue with the plans that they had before they were saved, pretty much. After you got saved, did you go back and reevaluate everything? Your job. If you got saved, if you had a job and then you got saved, well, you didn't go into that job in the perfect will of God. Now, you can't do that with marriage. You can't go back and reevaluate that. You can reevaluate it, but that's it. That's a one-time thing. It's supposed to be. But reevaluating what we can. And I don't think very many people do that in my observation. In fact, they seem to cut out a very large part of their lives for their own will rather than God's will. To cut out large parts of the life that really are off limits for God. That's my business, and this part is God's business. They aren't willing to surrender to God's will in everything. Education. Occupation. Friends. Dress. Think of the attitude of the average American Christian about dress. And the attitude is, don't you dare tell me anything about dressing. Well, God does. God's Word does tell us some things about dressing, which I had to face very early on in my Christian life. Music. Entertainment. Marriage. Where to live. All of those things. Had a young man that left the secular college in DePaul, and he joined our Bible college. And all he ever wanted to do was be a tailor. He was an excellent tailor. His dad was a tailor. And all he ever wanted to do, and his plan was to get married and be a tailor. And that was it. But God called him to preach. And he surrendered to that. God's will must be complete. How is it with you tonight? Is God able to speak to you and lead you in anything? Is the surrender complete? The surrender to God must be complete. It is a surrender to God. God. We don't have any business having any business with God. We are sinners. We're rebels. We're part of that great rebellion that began with Adam. We're all children of that. We're all sons of Adam. We've got no business being in the business of God. But God has made it possible that I can be in His business. And I can be in the center of His will in His business. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can be saved and I can know that. I can prove that. I can find that. I can do that. To me, that's just very, very big stuff. Very big stuff. I want to be a part of that. I want to be right in the center of God's business and what He planned for me when He made me. I want to be in the center of it. I want to be radical for it. I want to be known as somebody that's extreme about the will of God. I want to be in the center of it. I'll be 69 years old here in a few days. I want to be in the center. I'm more thrilled about God's business and God's will and God's word than I've ever been in my life. Ever in my life. The will of God. God is mentioned, as we saw this morning, four times in the first three verses. God, God, God. God's will. God's calling. God's gifting. If we can see God's glory and greatness, if we can really see that through the Word of God, and the more we can see that through the Word of God, we will not be tempted to do anything other than His perfect will. The more you know Him, the better you know Him. The more you see Him, the more you desire to be yielded to His perfect will. We ought to see Him on every page of the Scriptures. You should not be able to open the Bible and not see God, because this is first and foremost a revelation of God, this book. To surrender to God. The better you know Him, the easier it is to surrender to Him. Don't ever be afraid of the perfect will of God. Don't ever be afraid. The thing that my wife is afraid of more than anything in the world is worms. She is radically afraid of worms. She is weirdly afraid of worms. She doesn't even want to see a picture of a worm. I can't watch any of these, you know, natural history things that have anything to do with anything that even looks like a worm. It doesn't have to be a worm. It can just resemble a worm. Man, she hates worms. And she said she was so afraid that God would call her to a place that had a lot of worms. That was a great fair. Lepers, that's all right. Filth and, but worms? I believe that's why she got saved. She read in Mark chapter 9 that there's worms in hell. I'm telling you, she hates worms. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. But she went to a place that actually does have a lot of worms. A lot of leeches. Young girl, she was only a teenager when she went to that mission, that youth camp in Alaska. God spoke to her heart. And she said, yes, I want your will, Lord. Hudson Taylor said, God gives the very best to those who leave the choice to Him. To those that leave the choice to Him. Don't cut out any part of your life from the will of God. That limits God. I talked to a preacher recently about that. And he was thinking about moving to another church. And I warned him. I said, be open to whatever God has, whether at first thought it might suit what you want as the next step. Because God is God. And His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are higher than our ways. Don't cut out some part of your life and say, well, you know, that's my business. You don't have any business if you're saved. You've been twice purchased. And you don't have any business, really. But God gives us the opportunity to, of our free will, surrender our bodies to Him, a living sacrifice. I gave my life to the Lord in the fullest way. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord when I got saved. That's really what repentance is all about. But in a very particular way, one afternoon when I was in Bible college in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it was before I got married, and I was praying about marriage. And I was only 24 years old. And I'd only been saved about a year. But I was living with two other guys in a little apartment. Bible college students. And I remember one afternoon, I just was alone there. And I just, as much as I could humanly do it, and that's how I put it to the Lord, as best as I know how, I want to surrender to the perfect will of God, whatever that is, wherever that is, whoever that is. I was weeping, and I did that. I've never left that, never walked away from that. I don't want any plan. I don't want any plan other than God's plan. I say that with all of my heart. I do not envy any man on earth. Don't be afraid of the perfect will of God.